Welcome to the Reset Podcast. I'm Liz Tran, an executive coach to founders and CEOs of fast-growing tech companies, and I attribute my success to my spiritual practices, which are rooted in mindfulness and Zen Buddhism. In this podcast, I combine business advice with spiritual lessons to help you lead a courageous, authentic, and fulfilled life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. We're back with a new episode. Thank you for bearing with me. I skipped an episode mostly because it has been such a busy last few weeks of work, and I'll get into a little bit of that later. A lot is shifting and growing for me in really exciting ways. And also, I am in my third trimester, so there is going to be a baby here in the world, my baby, in about 6 to 8 weeks, which is really exciting. But my body has been doing a lot of third trimester changes. I've been a lot more tired recently. I'll go into that as well. But essentially, I'm here to talk about what I love to do, which is identity shifts and changes. And we're actually all making these changes all the time, whether we realize them or not, right? We are never stagnant. We are never stationary. We are always pivoting, growing, learning, evolving, even if we don't embrace it, or even if we fight against it, or even if we're not aware of it. And so in this episode, I wanted to break down how to make friends with this inevitable process that is happening for all of us, to share a little bit about the times when I've done it myself and some tools and some lessons that I've accumulated over the past couple decades that just makes this process a lot less existentially angsty and feel a lot easier, frictionless, and actually fun. So we are talking all about identity shifts today. The episode is called How to Welcome a New You. Okay, so what actually is an identity shift? What are we talking about? How serious is it? How hard is it to do? The first thing I want to say is that identity shifts can be minor, right? It can be discovering a new passion for yoga, for cooking, right? Or they can be major, like changing your vocation or getting out of a long-term relationship or moving cities, something that really shakes up the core of your routine and who you think of yourself as. And so I want to be really inclusive and say that identity shifts, what we're talking about here, can be big or small, long-term, short-term, minor, major, whatever it is, but they're happening to us all the time. And essentially the way I break this down is an identity shift has to do with both the internal and the external. It is both how you see yourself, which is internal, as well as how you tell the story of yourself and how you present yourself to the world. That is the external. And so you really need both, right? The shift starts from within. It starts with your identity and the way you see yourself. And then it also flows into the way other people see you. If anyone's read Atomic Habits, which you know is a book that I highly recommend when it comes to making those external habitual changes, something that the author, James Clear, says is that the long-term sticky habits that actually stay with you are based on a foundation of seeing yourself differently. They are based on the foundation of identity. So for instance, if you're trying to change your diet and exercise habits, then you must first start with an identity shift. You have to start thinking of yourself as a healthy person before you even embark on those real-world tangible changes, because it won't work unless you also see yourself differently. And I really believe this. We are changing all the time. Think about how we start as newborns, and then we become toddlers, and then we are children, then preteens and teens, blah, blah, blah. That whole way, we're always changing how we describe ourselves, right? We say, oh, I'm in fifth grade now. I'm in high school now. I like this sport now, etc. And then there's this thing that happens when we're adults where we don't have as many opportunities to redefine who we are, certainly not on a yearly basis, the way that you go from being a fourth grader to a fifth grader, et cetera. There's this kind of limitation or restriction about how much we can describe ourselves with, right? It's hard to quantify the changes that are happening. And so that's why these identity shifts require more intentionality on our parts. We really have to define ourselves. And so the first step that I want to talk about, the first pillar of an identity shift, is to embrace the change. You have to acknowledge that it's going on. You have to see it. You have to articulate it. And then you have to say, yeah, I love that this is happening. Or even if you're not quite there yet, you have to say, hey, this is happening and I'm choosing to work with it instead of fight against it. Right now, the biggest change I've ever experienced is on the precipice. It's right at my doorstep. It's about to happen. And that is my transition from an independent person into becoming a mother. And it is meaningful and significant. I don't even have the words to explain it. Even though I haven't given birth yet, I have been pregnant now for almost 8 months, and everything in my life has already changed. I'm so excited for this new phase in my life, but also for a lot of this pregnancy and even beforehand, I have been really scared about how my identity is going to shift. And I don't know if I've really been fully aware of it until recently, but it was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And Dev, my husband, asked me, he said, it occurred to me that I should talk to you and have a conversation with you about what some of your fears or concerns are. And it's my job to be here for you and to help you work through these things. And I thought about it because they weren't really conscious on my mind because I've been so busy with work. And then I said, you know what? I think this is what the deal is. I am not afraid to be a mom at all. I know I can do this. I know that I can love someone and be very selfless towards them. And I know that I have the emotional maturity and capacity to show up without projecting onto my child. I feel really confident about that. I also am not worried about the actual birthing process. We're having a home birth. I feel very capable and very confident about it. I am not afraid of pain. I'm not afraid of my body changing. The one thing that scares me about the future is that I've spent the past 2 decades of my life shaping myself into the person who I am today. I like this person who I have intentionally chosen to become. And now I'm worried about where she is going to go once this baby comes into the world. One of my favorite qualities about myself is that I am so ambitious and so hardworking. I will outwork anyone else out there. And that's been a big secret to my success over the past 15 years that I've been in the work world. And I'm worried that advantage of ambition is going to slide away once I have new priorities in my life. And I said to him, does that ever worry you? Are you afraid of not liking the person who you are going to become at the other side of this? And he said, absolutely not. How could you not like the person who's on the other side of this? How could you not transform into someone even better than who you are now, having gone through the challenging process of birth and then becoming the matriarch of our family and creatively and consciously raising a child? How could you not be an amazing person? How could you not love that person who we're going to get to know soon? And suddenly I realized that I hadn't been embracing change. I'd been asking, oh, what's going to happen? I'm so scared. I don't know what's on the other side of this. And instead, I should have taken the standpoint of, yeah, I don't know what's on the other side of this, but I'm so excited for it. I'm thrilled. And so that's actually the first pillar. It's very simple. And it's literally becoming friends with the unknown, embracing the uncertainty. and saying, I can't exactly pinpoint what is going to happen from this identity shift, but I know it's going to be good. I know it's needed. I know this is exactly what I need to be doing right now. It's interesting because I've made a lot of big identity shifts, particularly in the past, 15 years. In 2019, I quit my corporate life and I started my own business. And that was a big shift in how I saw myself. Then a few years before then, I really shifted my lifestyle. I stopped going out and I stopped drinking for a long time. And it meant that I made a whole slew of new friends and lost some old friends, completely changed my patterns. And then a little bit before then as well, I gave up on this dream I had my whole life of becoming a lawyer. And I moved to New York and was a cocktail waitress until I started working in tech. So there have been numerous times throughout my life where I have intentionally or unintentionally gone through these major identity transformations. And for whatever reason, this one felt harder and stickier. And I had to remind myself that I still am choosing this, even though it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't always feel like I'm in the driver's seat. It feels sometimes like I'm a passenger. It's not happening to me. I'm in control. I am still the person who gets a say. And that feels really good. I don't know. It feels a little bit better than feeling like you don't have agents in your life. So anyway, that's the first one. Just embrace it. Know that you can't know what the future holds, but just decide that you're really into it. That's it. Embrace the change that's happening. Don't fight against it. So number two, this is a little bit more work, but it's about creating a narrative about what was and what will be. So you need a narrative that shows how you are pivoting from your past. And this is a statement that sums up the entirety of your identity shift. So if it's a work pivot, you might say, I used to value myself on being the smartest person in the room, but now that I'm a manager, it's my job to uplift others, right? So that's a transition from an individual contributor into a manager. Or you might say something like, I used to put myself last in relationships, and now I'm learning how to put myself first. So when I quit my job and started my own company, Reset, this was the phrase I used for myself. I used to think my value was linked to other people and how helpful I could be to them. Now I'm changing my pattern and finally investing in my own dreams, right? Essentially, to summarize that, I used to structure my whole career around helping others. Now I'm actually putting myself front and center and pursuing my passions. And so it was fun to be able to sit with this prompt and to ask myself, okay, what used to be and what is now? What is actually shifting and changing? And this is the phrase that I came up with for what I'm going through right now, which is that I used to be hustling and striving at work. Now I've achieved everything I've ever wanted, and it's time to receive. I am no longer an upstart. I am now an expert. So this to me is a profound shift, because remember how I was talking before about how so much of my identity is about being the hardest worker in the room, putting in the longest hours, being the most ambitious, constantly putting myself in a situation where I have a new goal, a new, very ambitious goal to achieve. I've always been the person who's pushing myself harder than anyone else. And I am not that person anymore. My identity used to be about hustling and striving, and now it's about receiving. And does this mean that I'm the most successful person in the world and I don't have anything to learn and I'm perfect? No, but it means that my relationship with work is now different. It means that I am now at a different place than when I was 25 or even 32 or even 37 last year. And this statement allows me to acknowledge that. Very similarly, I have another narrative statement about myself that is true with this child. And if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that It took years of fertility struggles to get pregnant, and so much of my identity was getting through those hard times, getting through fertility-related depression, getting through a lot of pressures that it put on my relationship as well. And now it's different. Things used to be hard when it came to creating a family, but now everything is easy and blissful. These are the golden times. And the statement is so beautiful for me because it feels like I'm really acknowledging the past while also stepping into a new future, right? Just because it was hard to get here does not mean that it will always be hard. And this statement helps me really intentionally shift myself out of scarcity mindset into gratitude and presence for what's going on today. Okay, so I want you to take a pause and think about what your narrative statement might be. And you can start it off with, I used to blank and now I blank. For instance, I used to be afraid of taking risks, but now I'm prioritizing expanding my comfort zone. Or what about something like, I used to love going out and partying on the weekends, and now I like to stay home. Or I used to invest everything into my friendships and relationships, and now I'm taking some time for myself. So try it out. I want to see if you can write three statements that begin with, I used to, and end with, but now. I used to this, but now I do that. And after you've written those three, then see which one really resonates, which one becomes your slogan for this next extended period of time. Okay, so now number three, the third tip for forming a new identity and welcoming a new you is to dream about where you're headed. And I want to be really clear that I'm not using the word plan. So don't plan out your whole future, right? Instead, the invitation here is to dream about where you're headed versus plan. And what I think that verbiage acknowledges is that we don't know. As we are shifting and pivoting and changing, of course, there are intentional decisions that we're making for ourselves. But I also want to acknowledge that there are so many surprises and new directions that we are going to be led down that we don't even know about right now. We have to let ourselves be pleasantly surprised. That's the whole part about change and newness, is that it opens up possibility for the future that we can't even predict yet. There's no way that any of us could ever fully, with 100% accuracy, identify what's going to unfold in the future for us. It's just impossible, right? We can't actually do that. There's always some level of surprise, of unknown that's going to take place. And that's part of it. We're not there yet. So how can we know what the terrain looks like? So I think this is really important because I think sometimes people embark on identity shifts and they think, okay, when I get there, I'm going to feel exactly this way. This is exactly what my life is going to look like. And then they're disappointed when that's not true. This is something in psychology called the arrival fallacy, which means that we spend our whole lives dreaming of a specific goal or accomplishment. And then when we get it, when we actually get what we want, it's disappointing. We think we're going to change and be happy and everything's going to fall into place magically once we achieve a certain goal. And then we realize that we feel exactly the same. And I think this happens when we put too much pressure on what the future state will look like. And so remember, this third hint, this third tip for how to change your identity is about just dreaming for the future, postulating about what could be, but don't pull in the heaviness of needing it to be a certain way. When you do that, you lose sight of all the beautiful surprises and all the unexpected gifts that are flowing into your life. For me, in this new phase of my life as a mother, I have no idea how exactly it's going to unfold. I don't really know what my mom personality is going to be like. I don't know how I'm going to handle tantrums and sleep training and really hard moments where maybe the baby is sick or I'm sick or Dev is sick. There's a lot more stress that comes with being a parent. And I just don't know yet. I can't say for certain how it is that I'm going to show up, but I can certainly dream and set a really beautiful vision for what I think I would like it to be like. And what I see is lots of quiet, lots of ease, lots of introspection, that I drop this part of my personality that's always in a rush. And instead, I embrace a real kind of slow and methodical and grateful and unstressed version of myself perpetually. So as you begin to welcome in identity shifts of your own, what's your dream? What's your vision? It doesn't have to be a plan or goals or something that you adhere to, but what makes you smile when you think about the person who you are becoming? I honestly think that when it comes to identity transformations, this dream, this very kind of soft, welcoming image or picture, even if it's ambiguous, is so much more valuable than a hard and fast plan that honestly is 99.9% certain not to actually come true. Okay, so now we are on to the fourth and final tip for how to navigate identity change. And this is to create symbolic moments of transition. I'm talking about rituals. I'm talking about ceremonies. I'm talking about significant milestone markers. I want you to celebrate yourself. I want you to acknowledge how magnificent this big transition is and what it means to you. So these are some of the ways that I've done this in the past. When I quit my job in venture capital and started my own company, I dyed my hair platinum blonde, and it was the first time I'd ever done something that crazy with my hair in my entire life, but it felt so warranted at the time, and it felt like it really reflected me. I have cut all of my hair off very short after moving jobs or going through breakups. I've gone on trips. I've moved apartments. That's actually what I did just now. Dev and I moved out of the place where we'd been staying for 5 years in the Lower East Side, which is this great, really fun, vibrant neighborhood that had a lot of action and activity going on. And we moved to probably the sleepiest, cutest part of Brooklyn, this area called Fort Greene, where it's basically just doodles of all sorts, golden doodles and labradoodles, really gentle dogs, just roaming around. And every person literally has a stroller in one hand and a dog leash in the other hand. And it is completely unhurried. It is very unbusy. And it's just soft and gentle versus vibrant and compelling the way that my last neighborhood was. And so that felt really important. We were originally going to wait until after we had the baby to move, but it was so important for me to make that shift right in this moment. And then secondarily too, I was walking the Camino de Santiago in August with my husband. So that beautiful pilgrimage in Spain. And we basically said we were walking from one way of being to the next. We started off the journey very much living lives for me. Me as in me, and then me as in him, separate individuals, people with an agenda that is unique to them as a person. And then we are ending it with a we as a family, me, my husband, my daughter, and our dog, and any of our future children. And so it's so important to have these capstones to all these changes, because it's important to celebrate yourself and to say, yeah, I'm doing this. Yes, this is meaningful. Right? It allows you to focus on it more and to fully give the transition the space it needs when you're also creating symbolic moments to acknowledge how profound that transition really is. About a year ago, it was a huge dream of mine to sign with a speaking agent and then to start giving talks to large audiences of people. And it was something that I always wanted to do. It seemed really far off when I started having this dream. And in this past year, I've really achieved that goal. And it's felt so beautiful in terms of a long-held vision that I've wanted that has come true. And also just a new identity shift for me as a keynote speaker. And it's been really cool. But also, I've felt like I haven't been able to really acknowledge the significance of what's happening, of how much my professional career has changed in a really beautiful way. And so the other day, I was like, I want to commemorate this with something. I actually want to get a couple of outfits and really invest in some clothes that are business formal that I will be wearing when I give two talks this week. I'm going to the Texas Conference for Women and I'm giving two speeches there. And I'm also going to be at the Accenture Women's Leadership Forum and doing some talks there as well. And all of this is just so huge. It feels like I've never operated at this scale before. And that's why it is so important to do this conscious, intentional, identity-shifting work so that when I show up on the stage, I don't feel like an imposter. I don't feel like a novice. I don't feel like I'm unqualified for this work. Instead, I feel confident. I feel self-assured. I feel deserving. And that requires me to shift my identity. And how I do that is by creating symbolic moments that help me see, yeah, look how far I have come. So one of the things that I did was I wrote myself a letter and I said, "Dear Liz, today I'm so proud of you. Look at how far you've come. Look at these amazing talks that you've created from scratch. And look at the ways you've engaged audiences so often over the past year. You did it. You held on to a dream that you had for many years and you turned it into a reality. Now I am celebrating you by buying you a couple of outfits to wear on those speeches. And so I will forever think of these speeches as my I made it outfits." And I'm not someone who is particularly materialistic or clothing oriented, but it is nice to have something that reminds me of this big transition and this big accomplishment in my life, in the same way that maybe you got something nice for your graduation, or maybe you bought yourself something that was a little splurgy when you got a promotion. Every time you look at it, you think, oh, wow, that's what I did. I did it. I did something really big there. And so I want to encourage people to do this. Doesn't mean that you have to spend money, right? Getting your hair cut or dyed or buying yourself some jewelry. But I do want to invite you to create really conscious, intentional moments of ritual that symbolize this transition. So it might be having some friends over for dinner and telling them what you're marking. It might be writing yourself a letter. It might be sharing with family or friends how meaningful this moment is and asking them if they will celebrate with you. Okay, so that is what I have for you today. I want to celebrate you right now, even though we are not sitting in the same room together. Figured I would just act on pillar number 4 and say, you know what? You're doing a great job. These shifts that you are making are not easy. It's not for the faint of heart, and you're really showing up for them. So you should take a second to pat yourself on the back. I am actually physically patting myself on the back with my left hand, and I'm saying, you know what, Liz, you've done a good job. So I invite you to do the same today and to remember these 4 pillars of identity shift, which is 1, embrace the change. Know that it is for the best and you're going to like yourself a lot better on the other side of it. 2, create your narrative about how you're changing. And remember, that's your statement that starts with, I used to, and ends with, but now I. So I used to hate tennis, but now it is my 1 stress relief. Or I used to have a challenging relationship with my sister, but now I invest in her and we are closer than we've ever been. Whatever it might be, just being able to hold that juxtaposition of what was and what is now. 3 It is all about dreaming about where you're headed. And by dreaming, I do not mean planning. Planning is the opposite. Dreaming is just about setting the tone, being able to use your imagination about where all this might take you. The most beautiful thing about pivots and new beginnings and shifts is that it opens up a whole new realm of possibilities that weren't even available to us before. And so don't rush to box yourself in with a plan. Just hold the space open for possibility with your dream. And then finally, number four, this is very important. You want to create symbolic moments of transition. You want to have rituals. You want to create meaningful and special moments that you will always remember that demarcate just how important this moment right now is. Okay, so that is it. Thank you for listening and being patient with me. If you have enjoyed this content, then please leave a review. They matter a lot. It's how people discover the podcast. And we already have a ton, and I read through every single one, but it does actually matter. We have a bunch on Spotify. I think we have over 500, and I would love some on Apple Podcasts. So if you do have the inclination and you found value in some way from this material or other episodes, then please just take 10 seconds to give me a little 5 stars on iTunes podcasts. So thank you, everyone. I hope you have a beautiful fall, which I think is the most transformative season. And I will see you here again in 2 weeks.